Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
This morning, I want to go a little bit deeper, but before I really get into what I want to share with you this morning, there was just one scripture that really sums a lot of this up so beautifully, and it's Matthew 7, verse number 7 to 11. Let's quickly go there and read this together. Really powerful. You can read quietly, I'll read loud. Amen. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" And what I wanted to just share with you is the power of three things. The power of asking. Because the Bible says when we ask, we receive. It says there, the reward for asking is we receive. The reward for seeking his word, seeking his will, is that we will find him. The reward for knocking is also very powerful. Now, why should we knock? God wants to see if you're going to stay in that place of seeking his face, of trusting in him, when you're not getting the breakthrough that you are wanting, or getting the answer to the prayer that you've put out there. So continuing to knock produces an open door. That means that sometimes when we pray and we feel like there's a resistance, that's why it's a door. Because we have to keep knocking. Have you ever had someone knock at your door? You can handle it for a while, but after a while, that knocking becomes violent. And when that knocking becomes violent, eventually you just go and open the door. Amen. And so it is with the Lord. The more we knock, the more persistent we are, he will open that door for us. Now, this morning I want to go into a couple of things that I feel are really important when it comes to hearing from God so that he responds to our prayers. And the first thing, you might want to write this down, is praying his will. Praying his will. And Luke 11 verse number 2 says this. "So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we see without a shadow of a doubt that when it comes to prayer, and even in the Lord's Prayer, it says that his will must be done. In other words, when we pray, we need to set ourselves in agreement with God for his perfect will to be done in our lives, in our families, in our businesses, in our personal lives, in every single thing, his will must be done. So let's go a little deeper. Let's go to 1 John 5, verse number 14. 1 John 5, verse number 14. So many of us struggle. Why does the Lord not answer our prayers? Why are we not getting the breakthrough? I know that I've been there. There's times where I've prayed and I'm seeking God, trusting for a breakthrough, and for some reason it just doesn't seem like it's working out. Take a look at this. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." It is very important for us to understand the meaning of the word ask. How many of you know the Greek language is beautiful? The Greek language is full. And I just, so, you know, by the grace, I'm Greek. Amen. I wish I could speak a bit better. My dad and I have this thing every week. It's great. He sends me these WhatsApp messages explaining to me how to pronounce the words. I love it. Amen. So it's important for us to understand the meaning of the word ask. The meaning, the Greek word is the word aiteo. Aiteo, and it basically means to ask boldly. To ask expecting to have what you've asked for answered. So in other words, the suggestion is that you approach God when you ask authoritatively, you approach him in a way that you actually believe that something's going to happen. I'm not in any way suggesting that you should go disrespectfully to God, because that would be ridiculous. But what you should do is you should be bold and confident that he's going to answer your prayer. Now, the key here in being bold and confident when you ask God something is that you do it according to his will. You see, it says there, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask according to his will, he hears us. So the key is according to his will. Thank you for that single solitary amen. His will. It says that we should pray according to his will, and when we do that, he hears us. So if we don't pray according to his will, is he hearing us? Now that's the question. We cannot pray things that contradict his word. You see, that's why it's so important that we know the word of God and study the word of God. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Can you say amen? Now, if you go to John 15, verse number 7, this will actually strengthen what I'm saying. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So once again, he's saying that it's my will, it's my word. In other words, if you know the promises of God, if you know what the Bible says concerning this situation, if you know what the Bible says concerning that in your life, then you can go to God and address him and speak to him with the knowledge of the word, praying according to his will, and boldly you can go to him because you know he's going to answer you. If we pray his promises and what the word says, we will have it. We cannot pray prayers that are manipulative. You can't go to God and try to manipulate him. It doesn't work. Oh God, please make her love me. That girl, young people, it ain't gonna work. What if it's not his will for your life? If it's not his will, why would you do that? Rather pray something to the effect of, Father, send the right person to my life. Father, send the person that you desire for me to be with. And when someone comes in your life, you can pray something like this. Father, if this person is not the right person for me, would you remove him from my life? Now, please don't be like evil and say, remove him, like kill him. Amen. The poor guy. Come on, guys. Church is supposed to be fun, guys. Church is supposed to be wonderful. Listen, when the presence and the power comes in, then we'll get serious. But let's enjoy the word of God together. Amen. You can't control God. You can't manipulate him. But the fact of the matter is he never contradicts his word. So when you go to him with his word, pray his will concerning your life, you will have an answer. So I'm going to pick on the youth today. Is that okay? So you can't go, oh God, I'm so in love with this girl. She's so beautiful. She's so wonderful. Please, it doesn't work. You can't manipulate. Amen. All right, let's move on. Now, let's read it again. 1 John 5, verse 14 to 15, so we can put it back into the context of what we're speaking about. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, so in other words, we go boldly to him according to his will, so we understand that now we're going to him according to his will with his word and what his word says and his will for our lives, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. The word petitions is also important in the Greek here. It is the word iatema. Iatema, which means our requests, our desires. Remember what I said earlier on to you or last week. It's important for us when we go to God to be specific. Be specific. Don't assume always that God knows everything you want to say. He probably knows, but He's also watching you. He's testing your faith. He's testing your desire to have relationship with Him. Sometimes I think, this is Pastor Alex speaking now, we think that God wants to just test us all the time, but it's not necessarily like that. You must remember something, guys. The devil is not like God. He's not omnipresent and omnipotent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. But when the devil is watching you while you're in the storm, well, I shouldn't be telling you this, this is for tonight. While the devil is watching you while you're in the storm, you need to remember that that's when you need to take God and say to Him, Father, Your word declares this, even though this is going on in my life. So you begin to speak. The devil doesn't know all your thoughts. He's not God that He knows everything you're thinking. So it's important for us to declare our requests, to bring them before God so that the devil can also see what we're doing. Okay, I thought that was good. Amen. All right, let's move on. I like that. I like to remind the devil of his future. I remember when I was a young person like those guys over there, long time ago, and we were on youth camps and we would do deliverance. You can ask my daughter. She has my little Bible from when I was a young minister. And at the back of my Bible, I had all the deliverance scriptures that we used to pray when we used to do deliverance. That's right. We do deliverance in church. It's important. Amen. So I saw, I'll never forget it. I remember how we used to take someone that was, the demons were manifesting. We'd take them in a room on the side and we would start doing deliverance. And while we would be doing the deliverance, I would turn to those scriptures that reminded the devil of his future. And let me tell you something, that no devil likes to be reminded about where he's going to end off. Now, here's the good news. When God has a promise for you, when God has a purpose, a plan for you, which He does, by the way, because He knew you long before you were even formed in your mother's womb, and He has a plan for you, what you need to do is discover what that plan is. And as you begin to discover that, you begin to remind the enemy every time he attacks you of what God has destined you to do and destined you to become. I love it. So even when he attacks me, I can rest in the fact that God has already said to me that this is what you will be. This is who you are. This is how you will end. And one day I'll be able to be just like Paul by the grace of God and only by His grace and be able to say, I have finished this race. I have run my race. I have finished strong. And guess what? So will you. So will you. And when you pray, you'll be able to pray effectively, knowing the word of God. Great, being able to divide the truth from what isn't the truth. Amen. Guys, the word of God is so awesome. So basically, the whole thing that I've read you so far would kind of be like this. So if we are confidently approaching God, He hears us because we ask according to His will. We can know for sure that He will answer our specific requests. Isn't that powerful? So when you know the word and you go to Him regarding His word, His purposes and plans for your life, you can boldly go and be confident in the fact that He is going to answer you. Can we give the Lord a shout or a praise or something for that? Because that is so powerful. Now, James also makes a powerful statement in James 4, verse number 3. He says this, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. The Greek word for amiss there is the Greek word kakos, which basically means to ask something bad or to ask something wrong or to ask something wicked. So it's like you asking for something that is wrong or that is inappropriate or, listen, simply not the will of God for your life. So when we ask God for those things, He's not going to give them to us. Listen, He knows the thoughts He has towards you. Those thoughts are good thoughts. Those thoughts are to give you a hope and a future. Those thoughts are to bless you. If you study that scripture in Jeremiah, it is so powerful. So why would God want to answer something that is amiss in your life that would cause you to have destruction, or answer in any way something that is completely false? Father, remove that Jezebel from the church. Listen, you don't know what you're doing. Rather pray for that Jezebel. Amen. Okay. Oh, there be Jezebels in the church. But not yet at Oceans. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have none of those. Amen. Remember, guys, if it is not His will, He does not have to answer. I'm going to say that again. If it is not His will, He does not have to answer. Now, I could go off here and have a long conversation with you about the importance of becoming a friend of God. Because when you become a friend of God, He begins to share His secrets with you. Scriptural, Moses is a perfect example. For Moses does not speak to God as man speaks. He speaks to God as a man speaks to his friend. He speaks to him face to face. You can walk with God in such a way that you have a very intimate relationship with Him, where He will speak beyond just the things of your life. Amen. Very powerful. Now, the next thing we want to talk about this morning is that prayer, in order for prayer to be successful and in order for our prayers to be answered, it requires faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we have to put our trust and our faith in Him for things to be answered. Don't ask for anything without faith, because with everything we ask, faith is required. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." In other words, don't approach God in fear of not getting answers to your prayers. If we know His word and what He promises us, and we ask according to His word, we should know that He will answer us. Amen. So your requests are in agreement with what God is saying. Now, let's take a look at Matthew 17, verse number 15. I'm quickly going to read this story to you. Matthew 17, verse number 15. "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water." This is now speaking to Jesus, this father of an epileptic son. "So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" Now here's the key. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." But put it all into context now, according to His will. Was it the will of God that their child would be healed? Yes. Amen. So one of the greatest challenges to our prayers being answered is a lack of faith. Don't ask for something without faith. Faith is required. Now listen, fear is the opposite of faith. Let me give you a scripture real quick. Mark 4 verse 40. Jesus says this, "But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" So the lack of fear, or the presence of fear, is a lack of faith. Amen. Amen. So we know that when we approach God, we need to approach Him with faith. Now the next point kind of ties into the faith thing, which is be steadfast in your prayers. In other words, we need faith before we pray, we need faith while we're praying, and we need faith after we have prayed. We need faith all the time. We need to be steadfast in our prayers. James 1 verse number 2 says this. Are you guys okay? Are you getting something out of this? All right, great. Listen, I don't mind you like going amen and like being replying. Is that okay? I love to get a response from you to know that you are awake and not sleeping and that you're enjoying the service and that you're having a great time. You know, I'm half Greek, half Italian, so I'm, amen. All right. James 1, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, it's interesting because there are two Greek words in the Bible for the word patience. The one word is the word makrothumia. Wow, my Greek's coming on. Makrothumia. Now, the word makrothumia is not the word that is used here, which basically means patience or long-suffering. The word patience here is the word hypomoneo. Hypomoneo, which basically speaks of steadfastness, perseverance, or staying power. The reality is that when we are tested and when our prayers don't get answered immediately, before or after, we don't see the results that we need to have this kind of patience. This kind of patience is steadfast, causes perseverance, and it gives us the ability to stay in it. To stay in the fight. To stay in the race. To keep on going. To keep on pushing. As I shared with you in the first week, I'll never forget my wife praying for a lady. Week after week, she would pray for this lady that the Lord would touch her, that the Lord would heal their family, that the Lord would move in their life, and God caused something to happen, and all of a sudden she showed up at the church. It was so amazing. So basically, that kind of patience is saying that I'm not moving. I'm staying right here. Let me give you one or two other examples of where this word patience is used. Revelation 1 verse number 9 says this. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying that I'm your companion through all of this. And in the patience of Jesus Christ, the perseverance, the staying power. Listen, if you don't think that Jesus was challenged, you're wrong. Oh, he was challenged, but he stayed the course. He persevered. He was patient through it all. Can you say amen, guys? 2 Thessalonians 3, verse number 5 says, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So again, there we see that same word used that describes a staying power, a steadfastness, to continue to just stick it out. It is not a question of if God will come and answer you. It's a matter of when. If you're praying right, if you're seeking Him with good motives, if your heart is right, you're praying His word, you're praying His will, He will answer you. But you need to be steadfast before, during, and after. Amen. One of the other things, while you're going through a situation where you're waiting for God to answer you, and this is important, is for you to remember a time where God touched you powerfully and answered your prayers. A great scripture is Hebrews 10 verse 32. It says, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. The Greek word for illuminated is the word photizo, which means to light up, to shine, to make visible. In other words, there was a time perhaps where you didn't understand something in your walk with God, but suddenly the Lord illuminated it to you. You got an answer regarding that situation and it changed your life. It changed your walk with Him. Maybe it's the moment you discovered that there's a Holy Spirit that lives inside you, that has relationship with you, that loves you, that is intimate with you. Maybe it's that. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's the day you got saved, but there was a time where He responded to you and it illuminated you. It lit you up, it got you excited. Start to remember those times. And it will give you the boldness to persevere through the difficult times. It's not a matter of when, or if, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. You will go through things as a believer. It's just the way it is, guys. We are not of this world, but we are in this world. We are living in this fallen world, and challenges will come our way. If you don't think so, go look at the story of all 12 apostles. It didn't go well. They struggled. But through it all, they had the most incredible adventures with God. They saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords work powerfully through their lives, and they had good times as well. They were blessed. They never lacked. They had everything they needed. But yes, they had to fight the good fight. There's no yellow polka dot bikini Christianity here. Yeah, we mean business with God. And I know you do too. Something is, oh, I'm excited, guys. Now, there was two more things I wanted to discuss with you today. The one is something regarding marriage, but I'm going to leave that today. But I want you to know this, that marriage is so important to God. I can't wait to do a series on marriage. But there's actually scripture in Peter that speaks about how important your role is in the marriage. And if you don't fulfill that role, God doesn't hear you. So we'll go there another day. But today, let's go and let's end off with this, because this has been so heavy on my heart. And Friday night, I even shared with the team just a little bit regarding this in some way. The last point today is, do not regard iniquity. Do not regard iniquity. Psalm 66 verse 18 says this: if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Or the Lord will not hear. The word regard is a Hebrew word. And basically what it means is to understand, to see, to look at. The word regard, to see, to understand, to look at. The word iniquity means evil, sin, false, deception. So in other words, if I regard, if I understand, if I see, if I look in my life, if I allow to be in my heart, if I can see that there's wickedness or deception, or there's falseness, or there's a deception in my heart, and I see it and I'm aware of it and I don't change it, the Lord will not hear me. Now listen, this iniquity is so closely related to the word that describes Lucifer when he fell, where it says iniquity entered him. It's not the same word, but they are related. So in other words, it must mean that in some way, this kind of thing is extremely dangerous for us as believers. And I firmly believe that one of the reasons we don't see God move powerfully in our lives is because we allow iniquity in our hearts in some form. Not necessarily to the point where Lucifer became so defiled that he began to believe his own lie. But to the point where we become false, we allow deceptions, we allow falseness into our hearts. And let me tell you something, you will not have your ears, you will not have your prayers answered when you begin to operate like that. I always say, if there's darkness in you, the Bible says, how great is that darkness? And I'm not saying this to try and make anyone feel bad. Listen, we all make mistakes. But let's be led by the Holy Spirit. Let's be led by Him. I cannot tell you how many times I've said something and it's been so insignificant, but immediately I feel in my spirit that was not exactly right. And I change it straight away. Because I do not want to allow any falseness in my heart. I do not want to allow deception in my heart. I do not want to allow wickedness or evil to enter into my heart. And the reality is, where it gets questionable is where it says, if you regard it, or if, in other words, if you see it, you begin to understand it, you begin to allow it, and you just let it go on in your life, something is wrong, and your prayers will not be answered. I can tell you right now, without a shadow of a doubt, that this is a big problem in the church today. God wants us to be truthful. Listen, I'm going for everything. I'm talking about false testimonies. I'm talking about everything. If God didn't heal you, don't say He healed you. If God didn't touch you, don't say He touched you. Let's be truthful. Let's be truthful about everything. How much has your church grown, Pastor Alex? Oh, well, you know, about 300 people in the last 2 months. I'm lying. I need to be honest. I need to be truthful. I need to have the truth inside me. And if you don't want to answer truthfully, if you don't want to answer somebody, tell them you don't want to answer them. Don't be put under pressure by anybody to say something you don't want to say. Just politely say, if you don't mind, I'd rather not answer that. And if they love you, they will respect you. But don't be put into a corner where you lie and you're looking at your lie. Is that okay, guys? The church, the Bible says that in the last days, there will be the true worshipers that will worship in spirit and truth. In other words, we will be a people that will be real. We will be a people that will be real before God in our own lives, in church, in our businesses, in our schools, everywhere we are. We are going to be a real people. And then when we go to Him, we'll be real. No pretending. Father, we come to You this morning in the precious name of Jesus. And I give You thanks because I have nothing more to say, Lord. All I ask is this morning, Father, that every single one of these points, as powerful as they are, will lead us to this point right now, Father, where You will cause us to become a people that walk in the light as You are in the light. Father, that the truth will be inside of us, that we will not be ashamed of the gospel, that we will never have to exaggerate or stretch a story or tell a lie or tell something so that we can boast of ourselves or whatever it might be, or be afraid or intimidated by man, but rather, Father, that our fear is of You. Because surely man will fizzle away like the grass, but You will remain. And so, Father, I pray that You will cause us to go deeper and fall in love with You. And as we seek You, and as we draw closer to You, that light that is the light of Christ, that will begin to shine in our faces as we behold the glory of the King, the only true one King. Father, let it expose every dark place in our lives, that we might be more like You and less of ourselves. Father, help the Word to become so living, alive, and real to us that it transforms us. I don't want to be like I was yesterday. I want to be more like You every day. Father, forgive us for our mistakes and our sins. We need Your grace. And we thank You that it's available to us. We thank You that it's there, that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. For where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. But You always look at the heart. You always look at what lies bare on the inside of us. And so I pray, Father, that as we seek and we go forward seeking after You with everything inside of us, that we will begin to change. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. For there is none like You. None like You. I thank You for it, Father. Now, if you've come into this place this morning and the presence of God is here, His presence is here right now, and you say, Pastor Alex, I need to give my life to Jesus, none of this will be available to you unless you give your life to Him. Unless you make a decision to say, I make You Lord of my life. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If that's you and you say, Pastor Alex, today I want to give my life to Him, would you lift your hand real quick so I can pray for you? I see those hands. Thank you so much. I see those hands. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, include me in this prayer. And those of you online as well, I'll include you in the prayer. Thank you so much. Anybody that's come here this morning that says, Pastor Alex, I need to get my life right with God. I blamed Him for all kinds of things and I've lost my way. I've walked away from Him. I didn't realize that I was not walking according to His will. I want to commit my heart to Him this morning. If that's you, just lift your hand and I'll include you in the prayer. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. Anybody else? God bless you in the back. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much to every one of you online as well. We include you in this prayer this morning. If you want to recommit your heart, if I could ask you all, church, could you all stand for just a moment, please? The presence of God is here. Please, nobody walk around right now. Just, this is a very sensitive moment. Can we all pray this prayer together, but especially those of you that have made this decision this morning? Can we all pray this together? Father, I come to you today. In the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me for my sins. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Give me a new start. Give me a new life. Come and fill me, Holy Spirit. Right now, I believe in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a shout and a clap. There is something to celebrate this morning, for there are people's names that have entered the Book of Life. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We give you all the glory and all the honor. And we love you so much. Now I want to pray for all of you that are here this morning. I pray that you will leave this place with the joy of the Lord, that the peace of God will be your portion, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with you all as you go your separate ways. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Have a wonderful day, guys.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.